podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to Deadline Dilemmas, brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout, and we're already at game week two, and I think we're streaming at a very, very good time, 9 p.m. on a Thursday with less than 24 hours till the deadline. Actually quite a bit less than 24 hours now, but how's it going, Braz? How's the week been?
Our week's been great, man. Yeah, football's back, and it's been fun, and yet another week where we start with saying how important is it to stream on a Thursday night when things happen. You know, things always tend to happen on a Wednesday or a Thursday. So a lot's happened. We're going to go through some of the things that we're hearing. Some are confirmed, some are rumors. So, you know, take it with a pinch of salt. But otherwise, yeah, it's been good for me. How's your week been?
Yeah, no, it's been fun. I have missed FPL. There's certain things about FPL you kind of forget about, like, the hindsight of certain things. And I guess that's just part of the game. It's only natural. And
yeah.
I think when we were talking at lunchtime, or maybe it was yesterday, we showed each other our starting 11s and they were identical. And I mean, it's not the case anymore.
this is what FPL is, right? I mean, we were all very comfortable. I did the wire on Tuesday and I was all gung-ho on, oh, I've got James and Chilwell, you know, I'm ahead of the curve. And FPL just says, actually, you know, no, you're not. And yeah, that's what it's about. And it's fine. I guess people need to sort of not panic, because luckily for us and luckily for the template and for managers that have sort of similar-ish teams, I think teams did generally well. And, you know, the worst case scenario is your game week one team doesn't do well and then players start dropping in price and then you start to panic whether I should sell them or they long-term. I think there's not a lot of that. It's more about people's had plans to get to certain players like a James or somebody else and now that's been derailed. So everybody's scrambling and that. But I think people just need to calm down.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think I felt the same as you with James and Chilwell, as in I felt very, very content, sat there with them both. I was really, really excited about them. And yes, we knew James was he has this risk of getting injured. But it's still quite gutting. But I don't think it's like a season ender. I think it's quite, well, obviously it's not. But I think it makes the game quite fun. I think there's some other routes you can go. It's that old chaos is a ladder that late riser likes to drum into
exactly.
People.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, let's do our usual deadline dilemma style. We'll go through our teams first. Then we'll start goalkeeper, defenders, midfielders, attackers. In the chat, I see there's a lot of activity. So hello to everyone. Just when we're talking about goalkeepers, drop in your goalkeeper dilemmas, like, you know, if you're thinking about Onana versus Turner and stuff. So just, you know, help us also with your dilemmas so we can talk through them. And we'll obviously talk through our dilemmas in our teams as well.
What did you make of Onana as we're starting on goalkeepers, just because he didn't really do, FPL-wise, he didn't do what I expected, as in, you know, all the passing bonus, etc. It was much more like a player like Leno or someone I'd expect to rack up, you know, save points.
He was top for bonus, I think, before Van Bissaka assisted Varane. So
yeah, he was.
In some sense, he was doing good stuff. I mean, not a lot of what you're talking about in terms of the pass completion and stuff. But I think, look, what he did was show us that if they keep a clean sheet, he'll be in the bonus. Even though other two defenders got returns, he still got one bonus. But I think lucky. It was very lucky. Both Man United, people who own Man United defenders, they were all very lucky to keep a clean sheet. Clearly, that was a penalty. I don't think even as diehard a Man United fan I can be, I cannot sort of have any explanation for why that wasn't given as a penalty. Obviously, you never know if that was saved or missed. But yeah, it was a very lucky win.
Yeah. Sorry to go straight into the Man United question straight off the bat. But yeah, for those watching, we've got your team on the screen. I mean, for those listening on the podcast, we're not going to go very heavy on visuals. It's going to be a lot, you know, just talking about the dilemmas, you know, as a casual conversation. So did you want to go through, I mean, I suppose your goalkeepers, you've got Turner and Pickford, the same as me, and you've got Turner starting. So is that?
Yeah. No dilemmas there. Right. I think this was part of our rotation, right? And mm-hmm. and there's nothing here. Villa should definitely score at home against Everton. And if they don't, I don't care because I don't own Watkins and a lot of people own Watkins. So, hey, Pickford, keep a clean sheet. I'm happy with that if he does. But I think Turner is just worth it. As Sheffield United were one of the worst attacks, at least from XG or chance created in game week one. And I think you're similar, right?
Yeah, it's like you say, it was part of the plan. And I don't see a reason to deviate from the plan. I mean, I'm not annoyed at Pickford. I've seen a lot of people that are annoyed. You know, I'm more than happy with that rotation. The only thing, so yeah, I'm set on Turner. I guess the first thing is the only player that might tempt me into a transfer, and it's not Edison this time, it would be Sanchez. Just because now we've possibly lost James. We're not going to have that fun attacking double up in defence. So it does open up that spot, doesn't it?
But do you think, I mean, I have mixed views on that. I mean, I think, yes, Sanchez could be fine because you're getting some access to Chelsea's clean sheets. But I don't think we were investing on double Chelsea defense because Chelsea's defense is something that is so great.
True.
We were investing in it because James and Chilwell provide that attacking threat. So my point is that if you wanted to change your goalkeeper and you're tired with Pickford, money is not a problem. Then go back to Onana or go back to even Edison if you wanted to. You don't have to go for a Sanchez just because you know Chelsea's got Luton and Nottingham Forest. Those two are good. But if you wanted to make a longer term move, I don't think there's that much upside in using a free transfer for a Pickford or a Johnston or somebody else that you may have Leno to a Sanchez. At least that's what I think personally at the moment. If they keep a clean sheet against West Ham, maybe I think differently.
Yeah, it does feel more like a move. Like, you know, if this was game week one again, I think I'd go for Sanchez over Pickford. But yeah, what you say about using the transfer, especially now we're getting, you know, rumours and confirmed details of injuries and the FPL season. You can kind of forget that in pre-season, that injuries do happen. I don't know, in my mind, I just started thinking, you know, this is going to be my set team. I'm going to follow, naively, I thought this, that I'm going to follow this plan and that's going to be that. And I mean, this week's actually been crazy for the amount of stuff that's happened, you know, starting with the Gabriel news at the deadline, etc.
I mean, let's come to defenders in a second. Let's finish on goalkeepers. What would you do if you had Edison and Turner?
If I had Edison and Turner? Oh, see, I actually hate that decision. I think I wouldn't be able to resist playing Edison. I think he's one of the few goalkeepers that I would play over Turner this week. I wouldn't feel like amazing about it. But then I guess we also have to remember it is Turner.
Yeah.
So yeah, I probably would start Edison. And be, you know, just be prepared. I don't mind having to rotate goalkeepers, by the way. I know some people hate it, but it puts a bit more, it feels like you're actually making more decisions by doing it instead of just, you know, playing the same goalkeeper every week and hoping to get lucky.
Yeah, it adds another stress. And yeah, I don't love it either, but it was just the Pickford one was just so good. And I guess it's more Turner was so good. And game week two is really the one where a lot of people will use Turner. And I can tell you, if he concedes, then some people may never, ever do it again for the rest of, you know, wildcard one. And people may shift to Areola in wildcard one anyway. So this may be the only game week you play Turner unless he actually becomes a hero and keeps a clean sheet. So I think I'm with you. Maybe Edison is better. But in my head, there's only two keepers that have a better fixture on paper than Turner. That is Liverpool. So Alisson, who's not very popular. And maybe Martinez. Again, not very popular. But Villa, home to Everton. Again, prime fixture. So those are the only two on paper that I would say are better than what Turner has. So I would say go for it. And my only point, last point on goalkeepers are for Onana. Again, Onana owners are quite popular. He will either get a 15-pointer or a 3-pointer in this game against Spurs because Spurs take a lot of shots. And so if he keeps a clean sheet, this is a mega, mega haul that I can see Onana getting. But then do I see them keeping a clean sheet? No. So therefore, if I had Onana, I would probably still start Turner. But I can completely see if somebody had a different view and say, look, I play for ceilings. Turner's going to get me 6 points max, probably two. I want a 15-pointer for Onana. I'm going to play Onana.
Yeah. See, yeah, a lot of people see Turner as that Edison type, the two or six. But I wouldn't completely eliminate, you know, 7-8 points.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen that much from Sheffield United. I mean, I think the assumption is they're going to be bad. And obviously in the last game, they look bad. But, you know, it only takes, you know, literally three shots, you know, in a 0-0. And it can, you know, he can suddenly get a few bonus, maybe a save. But they feel like lottery goalkeepers anyway. I mean, exactly. Rotation I looked at last week, going a little bit off tangent, was Pickford and Leno until we were gifted Turner. And I would have got that horrifically wrong. And I think Leno was very, very lucky, you know, with it, with like a goal disallowed. You know, we've seen the XG for Everton was, you know, I think it was almost three.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. So, yeah, I think you've just got to make that decision. And I mean, Sheffield United are one of the, sorry, not Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest are one of the favourites for a clean sheet this week. So, and I think he's going to be very, very, you know, if you play by EO, I think he probably is going to be the top owned goalkeeper this week.
Well, you know, you say that. He'll be the top owned, maybe in the engaged managers, but in the overall grand scheme of things, he'll be, I would say, 10% overall. Maybe I'm underplaying it, but you know, I guess you know the people who are not on Twitter are not playing Turner this week. It's more mainly us who are talking him up, and as usual, we'll get disappointed. But yeah, I mean, I guess going back to your point, we are competing against these engaged managers to come in the top 200, 100, 50k. So I guess, yes, in that sphere, he'll be fairly highly owned.
Yeah, yeah, you'd have thought so, because, yeah, he was probably the standout goalkeeper rotation, and he was gifted to us so late before that game.
You had to take it. And yeah. Areola is also, he started the first game, even though I read from Fabianski that he wasn't very happy. There were some quotes in the news that Fabianski didn't take the news very well of not starting. So it may that, you know, that one may be a little bit of a choppy situation where they keep, one comes on when one has a bad game, or they rotate around cups and stuff like that. But anyway, that's enough about goalkeepers. Yeah. I had promised, it's in my contract with Flapjack to talk about goalkeepers for at least 10 minutes. And so we've done that already.
I do enjoy it. Even though I can't pick them. That's why I like talking about it. Although, talking about defenders, but this seems to be the massive topic this week. I mean, so none of these are officially confirmed by clubs, but James, that's quite a strong source, Nisa. I think he tweets a lot of stuff. He's suggested that James is going for a scan, and then there's various other rumours, you know, of length of time, but I don't think we know that for sure yet. So
it's James, a strong rumour. So I would say, number one, if anyone's thinking about him, don't go there. And people who have James, I think the first thought is just calm down. I mean, just, you don't have, unless you're in a very precarious position where you have to play James this week and he's your third defender and you have two bench fodder who are not playing, let's say Burnley and Luton have a blank this week. So if they're your bench, then that's a little bit of a problem. We'll obviously have the press conference tomorrow. The extent of the injury that we've read on Twitter, it will definitely be discussed. It's not something that Poch will just say, yeah, we have a fit squad, and you just lie about. It's you know, it will be discussed. And so you will know by deadline if James is injured or not. And then you just act accordingly. And it's team dependent. So if you look at your and my team, so for example, in my team, I've got Chilwell, Saliba and Estupinian, who are all fine to play this week. I don't need to do anything. You get one extra week of information on, is Gusto the guy who's playing, or is it, you know, if he starts De Sassi or anybody else, we just don't know. And even though some fans are of the opinion that Gusto will play, he's still young. He's still raw in the Premier League. You never know if he gets every game or not.
No. And it's a hard week to do defensive transfers just because the way the fixtures are fallen. We talked about it a lot where this, you know, this game week's actually quite tricky. Then game week three is the complete opposite. Game week three is, you know, people are going to have real bench headaches. It's too early to go for Newcastle defenders yet, which I think where a lot of us are going to go.
Correct.
Want to go for Chelsea defenders, but we talked about, you know, or you mentioned earlier that Chilwell and James, we went for them, but obviously for the attacking returns, the clean sheets are a bonus. So we've been kind of robbed of our, you know, genius plan without even getting to play both of them. I know you got to play Chilwell last week.
Yeah, I mean... What can you do, man? I mean, this is what FPL is. I mean, you can try to go ahead of the game, but an injury sort of puts you back. I don't see it as much of a setback. I mean, I guess I see it as a loss of advantage. So with James, I felt we're a transfer ahead. Now I feel like we're slightly behind, but not too behind. Because if Gusto becomes an option, everybody needs to make a transfer in defense to get him. Okay, maybe some choose not to do it, but I would certainly not refuse a Chelsea right back playing Luton and Nottingham Forest at home in game week 3 and 4. So immediately my thought is that if James is out, I'm going to wait this week, see against West Ham. If Gusto starts, even if he starts one, that's enough for me to know that for 4.0, he's worth investing. If he loses his spot, I have wildcard one. I will deal with it at that point. But that 4.0 starting Chelsea defender is worth the gamble. At least that's my initial thought.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about him. I did look earlier and he's had one career goal, but obviously he's young. He was playing in France a lot. He's not going to be Reece James, I wouldn't imagine. But yeah, no, I get that. And to be honest, in the position we're in with James and Chilwell, we want to get on triple Chelsea, if possible, you know, as quickly as possible. But then we're not going to be on them long. As in, we're going to be on them, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, and then we're going to be looking to get off them pretty sharpish. I mean, maybe Chilwell will stick around, for example. And we'll probably get onto Jackson when we talk about the strikers, when we move on to the strikers. But what do you think about Colwill as well?
I think he's a good option. A lot of fans say that he is, I mean, even Zoff said it on the pod, that he is part of the two, even if they play four at the back. He's ahead in the pecking order. So there is no reason why you can't go for him. Again, it's a matter of, do you need the 0.5? So some people who have to make a move this week, let's say there's other defenders who we're going to talk about in a second who are also injured. And so you're suddenly looking at a team where you cannot put out 11 because you've got James and you've got other guys also possibly not starting. Then I think instead of punting for a Gusto, you just go for a Colwill, which is a much easier option that you know is more nailed with little bit less attacking upside. But then we don't know Gusto's attacking upside either. I mean, he could just convert into this, you know, right-sided centre-back and Chilwell just marauds forward from the left, and that could be the way Chelsea play. It's unlikely because, you know, if you always play that way, then teams will also make it so that they'll play a right-winger who's always on Chilwell, and then that kind of stifles your attack. So I would still expect some attacking upside, but I think Colwill is fine. I think he's fairly nailed.
That's what I feel like if I was having to make the move this week, and you mentioned obviously people might have players that are blanking, like defenders who are blanking, and you had to make the move this week, I think I personally would have to go Colwill just because I kind of know what more to expect, which seems a bit silly when he's just made his Premier League debut for Chelsea. But obviously we've seen him play for Brighton. We've seen him play for the England under-21s. And Chelsea fans are, you know, raving about and excited about him. So, yeah, then I'd go for the X minutes play. But then I guess you get in that awkward situation where if Gusto then looks, you know, very, very attacking, you know, against West Ham this week, you're probably going to force yourself into the defensive triple up. And probably not a defensive triple up, you know, we all dreamed of having, where you'd have, you know, you'd have James and Chilwell alongside, you know, the other one. You'd have two kind of relatively unknown, not quite James caliber players, as it were.
Yeah, this is why I think the order of thinking about it is save if you can. If you're in a position where you're in trouble, you know, tomorrow, let's say we hear that Stones is out and you have Stones, we'll get to Estupiñán. I don't think that's just a faff rumor, but you know, if you get news tomorrow, concrete news that you cannot put out 11, then you take out James, and you have to take out James for a Colwill at the moment. Again, unless Pochettino says in the press conference, not to worry, we have Gusto, who's very capable on the right. But it just feels it's not my type of risk that I would like to take, where I do James to Gusto and Gusto doesn't even start against West Ham. And now suddenly I don't have a defender anyway this week, and now have a problem going forward, which is an I want new problem, not a James, but another one. So I, being conservative, I would definitely do James to Colwill if I have to do it this week. But my recommendation is just hold off and see another game week.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, I'll go for Colwill, you know, if I had to do it this week. I was just going to flick to my team quickly.
Yeah.
Because obviously our teams are very, very similar, but just with the defenders. I don't know. I guess I've got a little bit more depth, but I've only got 1 million in the bank, where you've got, you know, you've got 2 or 2.5.
2 million.
Yeah. So I've got this situation where James, he could well drop in price. I'm just going to double check this, actually. I guess with the deadline tomorrow, he probably won't drop before the deadline, but I feel like there's going to be...
Because he's not even yellow flagged. So I see he had net transfers in before this week.
Oh,
so I doubt he drops before deadline.
Where he reset, I didn't notice if they put the flag on him yet.
Why would they? There's no official news.
That's true. So he could well drop then, as in the next couple of days, until they put the flag on.
I mean, deadline is tomorrow. So what I'm saying is he's not dropping tonight.
No, but we might have to make a decision. I mean, my situation, I've got 1 million in the bank, for example, and long term, I had that earmarked for Trippier. Obviously, that could change. But so he may well not drop by tomorrow, but it might get to like Sunday or Monday. And I've got to make a decision quick. And I don't want Trippier yet, but losing that 0.1 does feel like, you know, the old losing 0.5. So I feel like there could be this pressure on making the transfer.
Could be. But I would just say, look what happened this week. I mean, is it worth... you can find a way. I mean, I get some people are in this tight position, and point one is kind of enables a lot, but people did Gabriel to James this week, and look where they've ended up.
That's true. So, although they had no pressure, as in there was no price pressure. Like, Gabriel hasn't dropped yet, James hasn't risen.
They thought they had, or maybe they had Stones, or you never know. I mean, so James was bought in by 140,000 people.
Yeah, that is crazy. But I understand why, because I guess it's the same reason. I mean, obviously we started with them game week one and bench James, but when you look at those fixtures, you can see why people have done it. I mean, maybe the sensible thing would have been to wait, which is always easy to say now, but yeah, to actually wait would have been obviously my preference there, but. I can see why they've done it. But yeah, so I was just thinking about the price pressure, but I suppose we don't know where we're going to go with strikers, etc. And
exactly. I mean, there's no midweek football.
To Jackson in a way. But
there's no midweek football next week, apart from Villa, who'll play their Conference League game. So you could look at a Monday risky move if you're so tight. But I don't think you need to worry about that tonight. I mean, the Friday deadline helps in that matter where... you can still evaluate and look at all the press conferences and do the transfer after the deadline if you wanted to, and use one of your free transfers, and the second one is just your buffer if anything goes wrong. So I think that's okay on James, and I think we've laid out how people need to think about it. Let's go to Gabriel, because he was all this. I feel really bad for people who couldn't do the Gabriel to Saliba thing. People have lives, they were busy, not everybody's on their phone 5 minutes before deadline. All sympathy and love for Andy, by the way, for sharing the information as soon as he got it. I mean, people say he could have done something else. He could have not shared it or not had a source. I mean, just imagine what would have happened if he himself would have done it and not told anyone else.
Which, yeah, he did want. Well, it wasn't a leak. He captained De Bruyne once, and De Bruyne scored a brace, and there was all kind of anger that he hadn't told people. So yeah, in game week one, if he'd just done that off screen, yeah. That would have been seen as unforgivable as well. So yeah, exactly. I'm in the same boat. I feel for him.
I don't get it at all. Any hate that he gets, he shared the information with everyone. Just the fact that he got it late, he can't help it. So, for me, I appreciate it. And even though I was on refreshing, I didn't know even if I had done the transfer. So I'm really, really grateful, because now I have James. Had I had Gabriel as well, I would have been bloody pissed off. And I know many people would be in that position. So I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, you'll get people mentally adding or subtracting that from their score. Come game week 38, potentially. I'm actually glad, because I didn't own either. I'm glad it wasn't like a huge swing, because I think
when Nottingham Forest scored, I was the same. I was like, thank God. Otherwise, this was going to be very ugly, and some people would just quit playing. I mean, if Saliba scores a 12-15 pointer, it just becomes really bad, and people get a one pointer from Gabriel.
Well, exactly. And especially in like mini leagues and stuff, which is the reason that a lot of people, a lot of people play the game.
Yeah.
Thoughts with Andy on that, because he wasn't in an easy place having to do that at last minute. I'm sure he'd rather not have the news at all.
Exactly.
But yeah,
exactly.
Gabriel, I mean, I was quite bullish on Monday of just selling Gabriel no matter what, because we don't know if he's going to play, even if we're 80% sure. I just wanted to, have double Chelsea defence. Obviously now with the James injury, I think people who've moved to Chilwell already, that made sense. I mean, obviously there was a small risk because we've seen what happened with James. But I mean, would you be keeping Gabriel if he was in your team, for example, and you didn't have Saliba? If I go back to your team on the screen, just for those watching.
If I had Gabriel this week, because I have a James problem, I would just play Gabriel. I don't think there's any problem with playing Gabriel this week. Timber, for those that don't know, is out with an ACL as well. So that's a defender that's less popular. So everybody's panicking about him, but he has implications on the rest of the Arsenal backline. Zinchenko is not fully back, even though I heard that tonight or yesterday, he played a game against... Was it today? Yeah. So he did play a game behind closed doors. But I really feel that this whole thing of Partey inverting from right back and White playing centre back, this was an experiment against an easy team at home. When you play Crystal Palace away, a team that is good on the counter, is good on the ball, will get at you as soon as you lose the ball, I don't think it's a place where you play, you play your normal team, which is Gabriel partnering with Saliba, and you have White, and then you have somebody on left back. If it's Zinchenko, if he's fit, or if it's Tomiyasu, I just think they'll revert to type. And there's no reason to move Gabriel to somebody except Chilwell. So if you didn't start with Chilwell and if you wanted to go for a Chilwell, you have 0.5 in the bank on Monday. I can understand if people did that. But apart from that, I don't think you need to.
See, this is where I think I still would move off him.
Even now?
I mean, I agree, actually. To be honest, it is a lot harder without the Chelsea defenders. But even then, I know West Ham away is not an incredible fixture and we probably want to wait to work out if Colwell or Gusto's better. I think I'd still be tempted. And the reason is, obviously, we saw Gabriel come on at the end of the game. We've also seen, I mean, I remember watching them in Europe and they love, at the end of the game, if they're chasing the game, they love lumping it up to Gabriel. That's something they like to do. So I feel like if he's benched, he seems to be a bigger than normal risk for a centre-back to be subbed on.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I think I'd just do it. But finding the actual correct defender, it has got a lot harder because of this James injury.
But do you think in your predicted lineup that Gabriel starts or not?
Yes.
But I do as well.
I suppose I'd put it at like 70-75%. And to be honest, I'm looking at playing a rotation risk this week. So I'm not really wanting to.
I have him at 95. I mean, I'm convinced Gabriel's going to start. I mean, it was just a one-off thing. In fact, Arteta even said that we will have to play the teams by the opponent. Crystal Palace away they could lose that game. I mean, it's not a game to experiment. It's a good team.
Yep.
So I just don't personally see it. I mean, happy to be wrong, but we're here to give our opinions. And I think Gabriel is fine to keep. If you have missed the boat on the Chilwell price rise and you don't have the money to go there anyway, then just forget about it. Just play him. I mean, this is not the week to transfer him to a Colwell limited upside. You know, you don't have to do it this week. You might as well see who is better between Colwell and Gusto. Like you said, it's not the week to, I saw in the comments, somebody wanted to do Gabriel to Henry. Not the week. Fulham could score. So you just play your Arsenal centre-back, hope that he starts, hope that he keeps his place, and then you evaluate with two free transfers next week.
Yeah, the scenario you mentioned there, actually, if you don't have Chilwell, for example, and you can't get to him because you're 0.1 short, for example, yeah, then I can see the benefit of holding two free transfers and getting to Chilwell next week. Because, you'll be mad not to go with Chilwell next week if you've got that route. Looking at your team, though, say someone had Chilwell, Gabriel, Estupiñán, and you mentioned there's some silly rumours about Estupiñán, but I don't think they're true. I don't think there's any evidence in it. And then you had James and then Kabore. So basically, you'd have Chilwell, Gabriel and Estupiñán. Would you be tempted there to make the move? Because obviously you wouldn't have a sub if James is ruled out. You wouldn't have a sub.
I would do James to Colwell in that case, because I know James is 100% out.
Yep.
And we go back to our discussion on who can you get for James when you can get a Chelsea cover. Gusto becomes a little bit risky today without any info. So I would go James to Colwell in that case.
And you've already got Chilwell in that scenario. Right. So yeah. Right. Yeah. Perfect. Are there any other defenders to mention, do you think?
Well, let's talk about Estupiñán. So there is something on Twitter where people are circulating that he may be out. There is a press conference today. Do not panic. If it is something that is rumored, that is major, De Zerbi will say it. So I don't think anybody needs to panic. It is, in my opinion, and I think we were discussing this pre-pod, it's a completely baseless thing that has come out from somewhere. But you never know. There's never smoke without fire. It could be something out of a banter or a parody account, or it could be something out of a ITK. So we don't know. Keep your, listen out for the De Zerbi press conference. He should be open again. If it's an injury that is serious enough, he's not going to lie that Estupiñán is fine. So we'll find out. And then you decide where you want to go.
The reason I'm quite skeptical is just because we've had all this big news. You know, we had Gabriel, who was a very popular pick. He's gone. James was, someone people either owned or were targeting. It just seems almost too convenient. There's some substantiated rumour about either Estupiñán or, let's say, Chilwell or someone. It just almost seems like it's scripted for FPL.
So this is getting out of hand, seriously. Yeah. I mean, this is why I guess an advice to everyone. Have your sources. I mean, unless somebody who you trust, who has been right in the past, retweets this stuff, just don't trust it and go with what you have. So I guess nothing else to say on Estupiñán. Let's talk about Stones. People have City defenders. Not everyone's lucky enough to have Rico Lewis.
No, it could have implications on Rico Lewis. Or I don't know if I'm being a biased owner here, but obviously players like Gvardiol played their first, full game yesterday.
Yeah.
It sounds like Diaz is coming back. So he's got a good chance at a start. And then Walker's just played the full game as well. And Akanji played the full game.
Right.
So Lewis, who can play the left, he can play the right, and he can invert on both sides, and we've seen him, you know, playing further forward as well. It feels to me that he must be one of the most nailed players this week.
Nailed is a difficult word, but he has a good chance. He has a good chance. But my only counter to that is it's Newcastle. So he may want to play Walker on the right against Gordon, who's very, very quick. Mm-hmm. Or even Harvey Barnes is quite good. So he may go for experience because it's Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle are a top four team based on last year and a lot of underlying data as well. They just put 5 past Aston Villa. So it may not be a game where he experiments, but he's trusted Rico Lewis. So I don't, you know, we're talking about him. I don't think we're talking about anybody buying Rico Lewis.
No,
we're talking about him in the context of you going there because you heard in the pre-deadline leaks that Rico Lewis is starting. And it was a reasonable, he's what, four and a half?
4.5, yeah.
So it was reasonable. And I think you may benefit again. And you've got Luke Shaw on your first bench if he doesn't, right?
As a backup, yeah. No, of course. Yeah, I was just almost thinking more. I wouldn't say to buy Rico Lewis, but it's a kind of, you know, if Stones is out for a little while as an owner, I know there's about 1% of people own him because of, you know, the team being announced prior to the deadline.
Yeah.
So there are managers with him. So that's made me feel a little bit better about James as well, because, yeah, if I flick to my team, yeah, I'm thinking of starting him. But otherwise, are there any defenders, I guess, in the City team you'll be looking at? Because I feel like Gradiol, he's going to be eased in, isn't he? Even though he's an absolute bargain at 5 million, or he'll become a bargain if he becomes nailed.
Yeah, I think, well, I personally think I can see a scenario where Gradiol plays every single game because he's just that good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a bit like how he started with Diaz. Diaz was signed and then started every game, as opposed to other players like Ake, who didn't. I mean, it took them time to come into the team. So we don't know. But I guess with City, yeah, I think it's right to just avoid all of them at the moment. None of them are a buy as such. And a word on Stones. I mean, there's some conflicting information and people should also know this. And this is part of what we'll try to do in Deadline Dilemmas on what we're seeing and what we're hearing as of right now. So you guys can look out for information tomorrow. But there were rumors that he was injured in training. Now there's a Man City account. That's shared a picture and said Stones, and it shows Stones training. So it could very well be that he's fit.
City Extra.
Yeah. So we will see what Pep says. I think look out for Stones. If you are a Stones owner, he's already dropped last night. He's not going to drop again tonight. So just wait it out, see what Pep says. But I would lean towards him not being fit if Pep is still a little bit coy.
Yeah, there's a lot to look out for in the press conferences tomorrow. And obviously the deadline, I think it's 6:15 in the UK, a little bit earlier than normal as well. So it might
be time
for people to get flowcharts out for defenders and start planning what
anything? Because the first game is, I really hope we don't get news on Saturday games. I mean, there's an element of doing what we're doing now, which is thinking through what will we learn from press conferences? How will we act? I don't want to be given any information at 6:00. I'm happy to just go with it.
See, I was thinking of press conference flowcharts, because you know, people will be at work and they might have, you know, a matter of minutes to make a decision, potentially,
right,
depending on what times people work and all of that stuff.
Exactly. You'll have the 6:15 point is very relevant because I think people in the UK or anywhere, 6:30 is the more popular deadline because games start at 8:00. But this game is starting at 7:45. It's not on UK television, which is why it's starting at 7:45. And so deadline is 6:15 UK time. So do note that 15-minute earlier time.
Yeah, I'm really glad we mentioned that because that would be because people will get caught out. You know, I've seen it before when there's unusual kickoff times. I remember double game week where there was like a 5:15 deadline. I feel like that was on a Friday night. And I think that caught a lot of people out as well.
Indeed.
So, yeah, I think that covers defenders. We won't go crazy and talk about Robertson. Maybe we'll talk about him later, but I don't think he's really a dilemma for people.
Well, Trent. I mean, people have Trent. This is the week that you make your money. Like Andy Martin, people have Trent. Would you captain Trent over Haaland? Let's say if you didn't have Salah.
I thought about this. I think people are going to be put off because he had 0.00 XGI last game week. But yeah, I'd strongly consider it. I really would. The only thing that worries me is obviously Bournemouth are, you know, going to be a very, very different team. You know, I read an article earlier about how they're playing at, you know, much higher line, etc.
Yeah.
I don't fully know what to expect of Bournemouth yet. You know, after just, you know, watching the highlights of one game against West Ham, for example. So
I couldn't do it. I mean, because you expect Liverpool to concede in every game. Now then you're competing a right back against Haaland. It just sounds wrong.
I do find that one tricky. I think I'd see it as a, not to sit on the fence, although I am, I'd see that as a 50-50, but I'd see Salah as a no-brainer, as in I would definitely captain Salah if I had him.
Yes, I agree. So let's go to midfielders.
Yeah, let's go to midfielders. So if I go back to your team, I mean, we've got the same. Me and you have got the same midfield. And
we have the same five. Saka, Bruno Fernandes, Rashford, Martinelli and Mbeumo. Happy with Mbeumo?
He was the one I wanted to talk about. I feel, very happy with him. Obviously, I know he missed that big chance.
Yeah, imagine. That would have been 13 points.
He took the penalty. He had good minutes. I'm really, for that price, I'm delighted I went for him. The fixtures look decent for a while as well. He's actually, I look at my midfielders, he's the one I can't see myself selling before wildcard.
Same. I think him's feel like three that you can keep. And by the way, this applies to whichever 6.5 mid. I don't think everyone should be happy with who they have. Mitoma looked good. Eze looked amazing. Diaby looked amazing. So I think 6.5, I hope that it continues like this and there's no major variance in one or the other. I think they're all good picks and they should all do well.
It's a shame we don't have many heavy hitting strikers so we could justify, moving to, multiple 6.5s.
We might. I think in game week 9 onwards, when Villa have a really good run, and also Brighton have a good run from game week 10 onwards, you might see Diaby and Mitoma or March type midfields, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
No, I think it's good to get ahead of ourselves because, looking at the players that we're going to be targeting, although we may have wildcarded by then, and I won't get you into wildcard windows just now.
Game week 9.
Yeah, there we go. But I think we have to talk about Man United again because Bruno and Rashford, I don't know about you. I'm happy holding this week. I'm happy holding for game week 3. To be honest, I'll probably hold longer than that, but I want to give a minimum of 3 games.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I can do, which is very tempting. I mean, I was at for 20 minutes, I was like, should I do this? Bruno and Rashford to Salah and Richarlison for -4. And I just thought, it's not sensible. Next game week, they both play Nottingham Forest at home. Salah's away to Newcastle. It's just not what I'd want to do long term, but it's tempting. But I didn't do it because of what you said. I think there'll be other avenues of opportunity after game week 3 where you can use one of them, most likely Bruno Fernandes as a cash cow to get your, let's say Foden if he's starting every game, or Madison if he's looking great, or Richarlison. So I think money will be generated through that. And so people don't need to panic and sell them today. Spurs anyway play Man United this week, so you don't have to jump on them. So just keep them for another couple of weeks would be my view.
That's the thing. And when people talk about Bruno, suggestions Bruno was playing deeper or not as, involved. I mean, he definitely wasn't as involved as we hoped. There's just the fullback, the fact he's on penalties. That just always, I can always justify. I'm really bad at owning him, by the way. I never seem to own him at the right time. I only captained him for the first time, I think the end of last season, or I can't remember. And he blanked. But I'm still not losing my patience with those two. Do you regret now we're going into game week 2, Salah, we said we'd captain him if we owned him. Do you regret that you didn't go for the Richarlison Salah combo? I know you'd be 1 point better off, so ignore that part.
Yeah. Well, no, because that's very hindsighty, because I wanted Richard, we didn't expect Wolves to do what they did. My game prediction was 3-0 or 4-0 Man United. So, that was a very shocking, and so pre-game week 1, there's no way for me to know that. And I'm still sort of thinking that we could batter Nottingham Forest 3-1, 4-1 in game week 3. So there's no reason to do any of this. Bruno can get a 10-pointer in any game. Rashford, we already know. I mean, I expect Rashford to score 15-plus goals this year. So there is no need to panic whatsoever. You could get unlucky and Bruno gets 3 blanks and, fine, ship him out then. I mean, it's not, we have free transfers to use and there are other good midfielders that you can go to. But don't use a reason of, he was a little bit withdrawn and Mount was taking up positions. I mean, they will, between them, get that chemistry right. And between the two, it'll always be Bruno who makes the runs. He's always the forward-thinking guy. And if anything, I expect us in the next game to change this. I mean, you could even see Eriksen starting instead of Mount, where I think the main problem against Wolves was that both were getting too forward. And we need that second eight to be a little bit further back to help out Casemiro, because he didn't have a pass to make and we kept losing the ball in midfield.
That game, you, as in United Spurs, that feels like one for FPL reasons is going to be quite, it's going to cause a lot of knee jerking, I imagine. Because, you know, if one team, you know, wins that comfortably, well, especially, let's say, Tottenham won, could see a lot of the movement going into those Spurs good fixtures. But yeah, I guess in typical, you know, video style, we are just rolling our midfielders. But should we talk about someone like Jota briefly? Like, I mean, is there...
Let's talk Liverpool. So basically the view is that Curtis Jones comes back in number six. So McAllister and Szoboszlai play as the eights. That means that apart from Salah, there's two slots available up front. And for those two slots, you have Gakpo, you have Jota. On the left, you have Luis Diaz and Jota. Darwin Nunes can play on the left or in the center. Who knows? Darwin Nunes could start against Bournemouth. You know, Klopp could just decide this is the game I want to unleash him, because, you know, there will be a lot of space behind the defense and he's fast and he can make those runs. You never know. So why is this the game where Jota is preferred? I think Jota is part of the first team, but it's that upside isn't that high that I need to worry about Liverpool's team sheet when I have Madison right there or I have Bruno right there, at least initially.
Agree, yeah. And that Jota getting that early sub as well, because he was one player I was thinking to myself before the game week that I was thinking, if I'm going to knee-jerk a Liverpool player in, it would probably be Jota. But the fact he didn't get decent minutes, it just put me off. And I think it was a very unlikely plan that I was going to go through anyway. It's just a weird situation we're in where we got the nailed player on penalties who costs a fortune.
Yeah.
And then we got all these cheap players who are good if they play, but we just can't be confident.
It's like City now, isn't it? I mean, we have these options now. We have Alvarez, Foden. I mean, we can talk about City mids in a second, but so there's a question, FPL Alexander Arnold, start Gakpo or Pedro? I would start your City midfielder or forward, whoever it is. Even if you have Darwin, Nunes, this week, just start them. Just hope that you get a brace or whatever, even if it's from the bench. This is the fixture why you probably got them. And then ship them out next week. If they're giving you this much trouble that you need to bench them against Bournemouth, then you don't need them going forward.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, yeah, you have to go through with the plan now. And then, yeah, like you said, that's probably the plan then probably was to get rid of them pretty quickly as well.
And we're aligned on Salah as being the better captain if you have him?
Yeah, I just can't find a way that I wouldn't hate myself for doing, because I would have to do a minus four. And we talked about it. We said, you know, game week one, we're setting up our teams. We're not going without Salah. Sorry, we are going without Salah. That's it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've still had a couple of thoughts. Oh, I could do this. I could do that. But yeah, I can't see a world I do it. I think the only scenario would be if we got news that Haaland was injured. And even then, I'd be 50-50. I think I'd have to do it because of the captain. I don't really fancy any of the vice captains this week. Like, I've got mine on Saka. Same as you.
Yeah.
But away at Palace doesn't feel amazing, you know, for the actual captaincy.
I mean, in fact, there's a question. Vice-captain Saka or Watkins? Watkins is the way better captain. I think he's the second best.
I agree. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Yeah, I'm not over the moon with vice-captain this week. But, I mean, we're going to move on to strikers now, aren't we?
Well, let's talk Arsenal mids for a second. Yep. How happy are you with Martinelli?
Yes. I mean, I'm glad I didn't go Havertz, put it that way. I was looking at the spread odds. They were shared by Rob. He's an account on Twitter. I can't remember his whole name, but he shares like the spread betting odds. And Havertz was, you know, right up there. We, you know, the best players in the games for chance of scoring. It was just on a WhatsApp group with Seb. Seb just put one line. He said that he's not convinced Havertz would play up front, even though he actually ended up going for Havertz. And that stuck with me. And yeah, he didn't play. He didn't play up front. You know, Nketiah played. So yeah, I feel okay with Martinelli. Like, I'm happy to... Probably a bit like the Man United mids, actually. It's kind of like, out of the three Arsenal, I'm happy I went with Martinelli. I don't know if he's... He could stay until a wild card. He could leave in 2 weeks. Like, it just depends on other players more than Martinelli himself. I mean, how do you feel about him?
So my feeling is actually, you know, obviously the fixtures, people are looking at Arsenal's fixtures as the easy game against Fulham at home, game week 3. Mm-hmm. I think after that as well, they're Martinelli games. home to Man United, home to Spurs. I think you remember last year, big games, Martinelli did really well. So at the moment, if you ask me now, without the benefit of getting information over the next 2 weeks, I'm more likely to sell Bruno than Martinelli, even though Bruno's on penalties and other stuff, because I just think Martinelli is good until game week 9, which if it is my wildcard window, then that's just a good pick. And Martinelli also has this thing of I can dead end him. So if I'm wildcarding in game week 9, he plays Man City home in game week 8. I can just use that spot for somebody else for a 1 week punt. So again, very early thoughts, but I think I might end up holding Martinelli. If he gets benched in one game, he's out. I mean, it is a slot that has a high bar in terms of performance. You need to keep doing well to stay in the team. This is why we're twitchy on Bruno. Otherwise, who would think about selling Bruno with his stats and his penalties and so forth? So we'll see.
Would part of it be, so you'd sell Bruno before Martinelli, and obviously you can change your mind on it. Is part of that the £1 million difference as well?
Well, 0.5.
Oh, 0.5, of course. 8 and 8.5, yep.
But that would mean that if I've missed a price rise on Madison, that I can afford a Madison instead of a Martinelli, where Martinelli to Madison will only get me a 0.4. So there are plans in my head which involve selling Bruno and me being more comfortable and not being at the mercy of price changes than selling Martinelli. But if they fall kindly, then who knows? I could do Bruno as well. Yeah, sorry, Martinelli as well.
It's the difficulty, isn't it? It's actually just finding the player to sell. Or if we even need to. I mean, it may get to the point where we don't, but then we've both got Pedro up front. So
we need
him to stay nailed in the team, especially with, you know, I mean, over pre-season, I talked briefly about I was looking at a 4-5-1 with Pedro basically being a sub. But the James injury impacts on that as well, because part of the reason a 4-5-1 actually didn't look that bad over the first like 7-8 game weeks was because you could go Chilwell, James, Estupiñán. You know, there's the big hitters that were at decent prices.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the best formation may well change as well.
It would. I mean, for example, if James is out and if Gusto is a pick, or even if I go Colville, I could go James to that position. So it could be Gusto or Colville. And I could upgrade Archer to Jackson. So I could actually have 8 good attackers where Pedro is my 8th attacker. And I only need him. Basically, I play him against Bournemouth at home. And I can also sort of retain some team value in him if I have him. Because I think if he's starting regularly for Brighton, there's no reason to lose him at all. So that's also in my mind that if I do that, I can go for that kind of a structure. But we'll see. We'll see where we end up.
All these cheap players you're talking about, I mean, it could really not force us into, but we could just wake up one game where you can have basically a bench boost ready to go.
I mean, Gusto starting, Pedro starting. I mean, it begs the question, why don't we have Salah in our team? If Gusto and Pedro are starting, then 5.5 striker, 4 million defender, there's no reason not to afford a Salah. So I think game week 9 time, if people do wildcards, that's, you know, you'll have a 2 premium structure as a much more popular way where people go about their teams.
Unfortunately, Praz, one of the reasons we don't have Salah is actually Reece James. Looking at both our teams, I know you could have only saved 1.5 million on him, but then you've got the money in the bank as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did think that earlier and tried to push it to the back of my mind. You know, Reece James is quite a big reason, and actually Bruno's quite a big reason as well, because I didn't want to not go with Bruno. I wanted to have James on the bench. So,
I mean, it was because we didn't know Pedro as a starter, right? My thinking of having James on the bench was, what if Pedro was benched in the first game? This whole deadline dilemma stream would be, what the hell do we do with Pedro? He's now not a starter. He's my 11th player. I need to fix him. He's 5.5. To upgrade him, I need to create 1.5 million of new money. So I need to take a hit to change him. The narrative completely changes if he doesn't start.
And that's exactly where the 4-5-1 would have come in. And, you know, James and Chilwell would have saved us. But so it's interesting. So that's actually got us onto strikers as well. I mean, I don't think there's that much to talk about with strikers. We're both captaining Haaland, I guess, would be the first thing, because we don't have Salah.
Correct.
Would be the key thing. I mean, Pedro, let's talk about him a little bit more. I mean, obviously, like most people, I didn't expect him to get that many minutes. So, I feel a bit more confident on him now, playing in that amazing, especially after that Brighton game against Luton as well. I'd love to have Watkins, but even if I was giving him on a plate, I'd be scared not to have Pedro.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the people with Watkins even the Pedro guys actually have a dilemma next week on, do they sell them for Jackson? Jackson plays Luton at home. And there will be a big movement. So maybe the Pedro owners can do it if they have money in the bank, or they can fund it through a James or somebody else who's injured and get there. do Watkins owners do it? It's not that easy because Watkins fixtures are good for a while and he's just a good glue pick. So I just don't know if it's that easy to switch from Watkins to Jackson.
No, and you can't really go three up top because we talked about how hard it is for us to drop a midfielder. Like, would you want to, let's say our midfields are, you know, they're pretty template. There's some interchangeable players. People might have Madison, etc. Yeah. None of them you're going to want to bench or sell. You know, if you wanted to go for like a, because I actually looked at going for Pedro, Nketiah, Haaland up front because I have a million in the bank. And I was like, well, I can't bench anyone. Mm. So if I had Watkins, Pedro and Haaland, you don't have the problems benching a defender anymore because there's not as many good defenders now we lost James. But which midfielder would you bench if you went down the three up front route?
No idea. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, this is going to be the problem. And yeah, I mean, so I guess in context of forward or Pedro first,
yep.
Is that your plan to get him up to Jackson next week?
I feel like the James thing has just thrown everything out because, yeah, my plan with James, I was just going to ignore Jackson. I was going to let it go and just go for the Chelsea defenders or maybe the goalkeeper or maybe just stick with Chilwell and James. I haven't got as far to... Getting Watkins in for me would be quite difficult. I mean, if I put my team on the screen again, because I've only got a million in the bank and I've got James and Shaw on the bench, so I'm not as flexible.
No, but it could get you there. If you do James to Gusto, so now you have 2.5 in the bank.
Yep.
Pedro up to Jackson, you can actually do it. You'd have 8 million to spend. So you can do that.
Yeah, just the worry with that is if Pedro does well this week, there's going to be part of me that doesn't want to. And if we could end up in a world, let's say Pedro does well this week, if Watkins does well this week and Jackson, I guess it wouldn't matter. Let's say he does well as well. I think people might stick with what they have. I think that's kind of a natural thing as FPL managers. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, but in your case,
they all scored one goal. They all had the same XG.
You could do what I'm thinking, which is you do James to Gusto. Now you have 2.5 million in the bank. Yep. You take Archer up to Jackson.
Okay, and then you've got the three up front again.
Correct. Now you have 8 attackers, which is not ideal. But then you just play Jackson for those 2 games and then you deal with him later. Or you know, you don't have to play Bruno against Arsenal or something like that, if you see what I mean.
You'd be close to bench boost territory with that for game week 3. And I don't think that's even exaggerating.
Kabure, Gusto. Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, Turner game week 3, who does he play?
Good question. I need to check now.
Hold on. Here we are doing bench deadline dilemmas and thinking bench boost. Live. He plays Man United away. Nah. Anyway, I'm not a big fan of single game week bench boost. But yeah, you're right. It would give you a lot of benching dilemmas. But at this time where money is not a problem, if you have a million extra, either it's in the bank or it's stuck with João Pedro as your 8th attacker, I don't think it's the end of the world.
No, and I guess if every player's value, you could actually almost be farming money. As in, if you've got all the cheap players that
everyone's
buying.
That's exactly it. That's my thinking.
Yeah, so you can farm more and more money, and then Salah probably is more affordable for you by Christmas or so. But yes, so strikers, I mean, I think they are interesting, but I think they get more interesting in game week 3 because Pedro and Watkins both have, like you said, they've got good fixtures this week. I don't think there's a desperate need to go for Jackson this week away at West Ham. Like, you're not going to come off one of those two for him. So I imagine next week that's what we're going to be talking about quite a bit, and hopefully both with 2 free transfers as well.
Exactly. I mean, I guess let's spend a minute on City. We didn't talk about Foden. We haven't talked about Alvarez.
Of course, yes.
I mean, my personal view is without De Bruyne, you already have Haaland and there's other good options in those price brackets. So in Foden's case, there is Madison and Martinelli and others. In Alvarez's case, we've talked about Pedro, Jackson and others. I don't think you have to go there. You don't need to be the first one to get City points. Newcastle anyway is a game where you can avoid. So I don't think you have to jump on a City player, even though I think the expected minutes for Foden are good. And I think another thing I forgot to mention, Alvarez, somebody said, was about... Well, who was the source? Luke retweeted it. That Alvarez was expected to start the game, but he didn't because he felt some muscle strain or something. Yep. So anyway, I think he becomes a non-option now.
I can't remember the source. It was City. I thought it might have come from Pep. Maybe it wasn't Pep. Maybe, I don't want to say that in case it's wrong. But it was a reliable source that was retweeted. And yeah, it said he was due to start. I think it was only 10, 15 minutes before the team sheets were
exactly
given out. So, I mean, that's interesting to know. And I don't know what to make of the midfield because again, we talk about the midfielders we've got, and there's midfielders, you know, don't have a Spurs midfielder, for example. I think it's almost so hard to justify chucking in someone like a Foden. It's even going to be hard to squeeze in an Alvarez. I mean, there were some people looking at Alvarez and Haaland for game week one. But then because we talk about Pedro emerging, because, you know, Aston Villa's fixtures will, you know, eventually get better. I think they're just better picks because they've got the expected minutes.
Agreed.
But if Haaland gets injured, obviously completely different story.
But
then, I mean, you know what the move is there. You do Haaland to Alvarez and you probably buy Salah. So
Exactly. I think we're aligned. Only other forward that's popular is Bissa. I think good game. He benefited from them playing five at the back. He could still play up front. So he's a good pick. But I just think Mbeumo is a better pick if you wanted a Brighton attacker anyway.
Yeah. And the penalties were an obvious one, but it was the minutes as well. Vissa got, I mean, it's only one game, but Vissa did get subbed earlier. He scored a goal. I mean, to be honest, it took quite a big deflection. It wasn't an own goal because it was technically on target, but that helped as well. So I'm much higher on Mbeumo. To be honest, I wasn't that sure pre-season, but just maybe it's because I watched the Spurs game. I don't know. I just feel really excited about him, and I don't want to let him go just yet. So
yeah. No, happy to own him as well. I was debating in the beginning, but now I think he has provided what I thought as of him as an FPL pick, and I think he's fine to keep.
Well, exactly. And then with Eze, like you said, he had really good stats, but they've got a tough fixture this week against Arsenal. So I feel like he's one I don't need to rush to. I mean, if you had him, I'd be keeping. There was something we talked about the other week. Do you remember I was looking at? I know I look at a lot of weird stuff. Mm-hmm. I looked at starting with Eze, then moving to Morgan Gibbs-White for this week.
Yes.
So obviously he plays tomorrow against Sheffield United, and he's on penalties. I mean, probably a bit aggressive, tomorrow. You know, especially if you've got stuff like James, Gabriel, Stones.
I mean, to be fair, you can just keep Eze. Don't FPL and listen to Flagjack at the same time is what I'd say on a deadline. I guess Eze is a hold. I mean, unless you had no other problems and you wanted to just have an upside pick for 1 week.
Yeah, the fixtures are really bad after this one for Forest. It was one where I was going to be rotating a defender with it. It was way too complicated. And like we said earlier, I forgot about how injuries are actually real.
Exactly.
Can completely ruin your plans. So yeah, I don't think it's the best idea. So I won't even mention my Robertson plan, which I'm probably not doing now because I don't want to throw out.
I mean, now that you've said it, so now let's, I guess, we close out with final thoughts on your team. Where do you think you're going after the news that you've received? Maybe this is also a good time to just read out your full team and take it from there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So very similar teams. I've got Turner in goal. I've got Rico Lewis coming in for James, Chilwell, Estupinan. The midfield, as we mentioned, so Mbeumo, Martinelli, Saka, Rashford, Fernandez. Haaland's got the captaincy, and I've got Yao Pedro, and I have Shaw on the bench as, you know, a little bit of cover, but away at Spurs. So at least he's there, you know, in case something goes wrong. So yeah, James, I guess the only real talking point for my team, or the main talking point, is James is, because of the James injury, I brought Rico Lewis into the team, which, to be honest, if it wasn't for the Stones injury or rumoured injury, I wouldn't feel as great about. And you made a good point. It is against Newcastle. I suppose the counterpoint is at least they're at home. It's not ideal. I mean, I would have been playing James over Rico Lewis. I just don't want to play Shaw over Rico Lewis. Maybe that's a lot safer.
I mean, sure, you know what you'll get. I mean, you could get... I don't think Man United keep a clean sheet.
No,
so I would
think
say
it's 2 points.
So you can chance it. I guess what you're doing is fine.
Yeah, we're not going to get any rumoured lineups or anything. For Lewis, unlike last week, because they're playing 8 p.m. on the Saturday as well. So it's even later than your normal tea time kickoff. So
I mean, even Pep won't know his final team. He'd probably decide on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a gamble. But in my head, and I'm not like, you know, someone like Luke who can predict the Man City team, I'm at about 70%. That's how I feel right now that he starts.
Yeah.
And Fran, FPL Fran, he worked out. He you know, said that Lewis played 12 games last season. There was only one where he was subbed off before 60th minute.
Right.
So I'm not too worried about that. I remember at the end of last season when he's 3.8, at half time I was like, he's going to get subbed. But Pep doesn't tend to do that very often. Even though in the Burnley game, I think there was Man City fans were saying, you know, he wasn't playing very well, but he still got to, you know, 78 minutes. I think that sounds about right. I think it was about 78 minutes that he played. So I'm not worried about the pre-60 sub, but I probably shouldn't say that because now... it's all going to go wrong.
All right, excellent. So then we'll close it out with my team. So yep, I've got Turner starting, and then Chilwell, Saliba, and Estupinian. I was going to play James instead of Saliba, but obviously I've switched, which is fine. I think Saliba's okay. Saka, Bruno, Rashford, Martinelli, Mbeumo, João Pedro, and Haaland captain. The only problem I have is I have no bench. So, you know, Kabura obviously has a blank. Archer may get an appearance, but not expecting it. And James is expected to be out. That's what's making me a little bit nervous. I probably will just chance it. And if I end up with 10, so be it. But if there is a press conference news on any of these 11 players that are here, or maybe the 10 outfielders, on any doubts, including Estupinian, then I'll be forced to do James to Colwill. And that's also okay, because I still then have money to do Archer to Jackson next week if I have to. But there are also other avenues I can go if I need to. So I'm okay with whatever sort of tomorrow throws.
Yeah, I think that seems good. Yeah, because you'd want to have the cover. And to be honest, if, let's say, Estupinian was out, for example, which we don't think he is, I think then going into next week, if you had to do a hit because of something, I don't think that's that bad, because I feel like so many teams will be, you know, at different stages of mess. Although by then you'll have Kabore back, for example.
Yeah.
People will have their 4.0 defenders. So it's just an unfortunate week that we're getting all this stuff going on so early into the season. But
And it's fine. I mean, sometimes players score 0 points. I mean, it's not the end of the world if, you know, unexpectedly, you know, there's a warm-up injury for João Pedro and he misses the whole game and I put out 10 players. It's just bad luck. It's fine.
That's the thing. I mean, most of the time players like that will average about 3.5, 4 points. I know you can't get 3.5 points, but you know what I mean.
Exactly.
So you're not losing a whole lot there for the off chance that something happens. And what's interesting as well is you're a point ahead of me. So I'm kind of glad we have a slightly different team. Well, we basically have Rico Lewis against Saliba as things stand.
This is what FPL comes down to.
Yeah.
And well, at least we're not playing, we both would have played James, right? So then in that case, we would have been exactly the same.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So I think last week it was Chilwell against, Rico Lewis.
Sure. Oh, Rico Lewis. Okay.
Yeah. And now this week it's Saliba.
You have your weapon of choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've chosen... mine seems a lot more scary than yours now I'm thinking about it, but yeah.
I mean, have a think. I'm talking through your thing. I don't know. I'm not so sure about Rico Lewis, but see what Pep says. Because Newcastle is not a guaranteed clean sheet as well. With Shaw, you get some set pieces and stuff as well.
Then it's at home.
Yeah.
Then it's at home.
Do your thing.
I mean, to be honest, Pep doesn't always make as many subs as normal. So, you know, if
you may get Shaw anyway.
Sure, yeah, exactly. I've got Shaw coming in, so... And you're not on next week, are you?
No, I'm off. No. But yeah, we'll find an able replacement. And obviously, I'll still be on Twitter and stuff. So
yeah, I think we've got a very, very good replacement already. But
have you already? Okay, let's keep it. Yeah. Is it a secret? Can we wait for next week? Or
I'll keep it a secret because it's like penciled in. So
okay. Yeah, all right. In. Sounds very good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Everybody, good luck with your final deadline dilemmas tomorrow. And there's a lot of press conferences. So. Don't switch off and don't forget the 6:15 p.m. deadline.
Yep. And see you all next week.
See you.